Word of prayer.
Heavenly Father, we come to you in Jesus' name. Lord, we thank you that you love everyone here, that you've got good things for them. You want them to prosper and to be in health, even as their soul prospers. And so, Lord, we thank you that this morning we can read your word, that you help us to understand it, to make it a part of our lives. Lord, we pray that we'll learn things that we can use today and in the coming days and the rest of our lives. We pray your peace and your joy and your love upon each person here. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. I want to read a couple of verses here in Matthew chapter 18, and they relate to prayer. And then I'm going to tell two stories from the Bible and about people believing God. And here in Matthew chapter 18, verse 19, Jesus is speaking, and he says, "Again, I say unto you, that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven." And then the next verse says, "For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them." And so God has made some really strong promises about answering prayer if we will believe him, if we'll trust him. And matter of fact, there's a verse, I won't read it, but I'll quote it, from John chapter 15, verse 7. Jesus said, "If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you can ask for what you will and it shall be done unto you." And so God answers, has promised to answer believing prayer. And you know, sometimes people ask, why aren't the prayers I pray being answered? Or why does it seem other people they're praying and they're not being answered? Well, one thing I always encourage people to do is to read the Word of God and to find His promises. You know, we just sang this song a few minutes ago, "Standing on the Promises." And if we will find His promises, then we can stand on them, and we can stand on them in prayer. And so here in Matthew chapter 18 is this promise about agreement in prayer. And it's a really strong promise if you take it. It says, "Again, I say unto you that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven." And so I want to read you a story here now from 1 Samuel, and it's a story about where people actually agreed in prayer. And this relates to Mother's Day coming up, because the story in 1 Samuel chapter 1, way back then, sometimes men would have more than one wife. Although in the New Testament it says, if a person wants to be a minister, it says a husband of one wife. So they changed things. But back in the Old Testament, there was this man named Elkanah, and he had two wives, and one of the wives was Hannah, but she did not have any children. And then this other wife had children, and so the wife that had children actually was giving Hannah a hard time. It would use the word provoked her. So she was maybe, back then it was a big deal if a woman did not have children. So that's how the story starts out. And we can read here in 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 7. Every year they would go up to the temple and they would bring sacrifices. And now this story, when I get to it, you'll see that she actually got what she prayed for when she agreed with this minister or this priest. And but let's read parts of the story. And so 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 7 is talking about her husband. Said, "And he did so year by year when she went up to the house of the Lord, so she provoked her." This is talking about Hannah's other, I guess, co-wife, or the other wife, to this guy Elkanah. She was actually provoking or aggravating Hannah. And then talking about Hannah, it says, "Therefore she wept and did not eat." And so, you know, when you read the phrase "did not eat," it's almost another way of saying fasting. And so she was actually saying, "I am not going to eat food." And, you know, we can digress and look at the Sermon on the Mount. I won't read these verses, but in the Sermon on the Mount, there's actually three promises that if we will do them, God has said that he will reward us openly. And one of them is fasting. because it says if we fast in secret, it says God will reward us openly. And then the other two are in the Sermon on the Mount, and you can read this later, is if you pray in secret, God will reward you openly. And if you give in secret, you know, sometimes Jesus even gave the example, some people were given money, but they were doing it almost to show off. But if we give something and we do it in secret, God has promised to reward us openly. But to get back to Hannah, she did not eat. And I'll digress with another little anecdote. I used to listen to this one radio preacher, and one time he was talking about fasting on the radio, and he asked like a rhetorical question. He said, "How long should you fast?" He said, "A little longer than the last time." So you know, for some people, missing one meal is a big deal. You know, if you were to say, "Well, I am not going to eat something, but I'm going to pray and I'm going to seek God." But for some people, if you read in the Bible, even Moses, he fasted 40 days, which is quite a long time. And there are other people who fasted a shorter time. Matter of fact, I was reading the other day about Esther. Many of you can, have heard of that story, but they were under a big threat, and when they were in a difficult situation, she decided to fast. She and the people who were working for her said, "You fast for 3 days," and then she said to Mordecai, her husband, "Get all the Jews to fast for 3 days." And then when they did, at the end of the 3 days, she went before the king, and it all worked out well. And so she was wanting favor, and she did. She knew that she could fast. So here, Hannah was wanting something. She did not have a child, and she was wanting a child. And this other woman had children. So it says here, "Therefore she wept and did not eat." And I'm going to read some more of the story from 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 8. "Then said Elkanah, her husband, to her, 'Hannah, why weepest thou, and why eatest thou not, and why is thy heart grieved? Am not I better to thee than 10 sons? So he knew, her husband knew, that she was upset because she didn't have any children. And so he was trying to console her, and he said to her, "Well, am I not better than 10 sons? And maybe he was in one sense, but she still wanted children. And so I'm going to read further. Verse 9, "And so Hannah rose up after they had eaten in Shiloh, and after they had drunk. Now Eli the priest sat upon a seat by a post of the temple of the Lord." So there's more people come into this story. We almost could have a little play here, because we have Hannah, we have Elkanah, who's her husband, and then we have the other wife, and now we have Eli come in, who's the priest. And so Eli starts making some statements, and so I'm going to read further. And verse 10, and talking about Hannah, "And she was in bitterness of soul and prayed unto the Lord and wept sore." So she was praying, but she didn't know exactly how to pray, but she was praying. And then verse 11, and this is what her part of her prayer. She made a promise. And in the Bible, vow, V-O-W, is a promise to God. And so it says, "And she vowed a vow and said, 'O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaid and remember me, and wilt not forget thine handmaid, but wilt give unto thine handmaid a man-child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head.'" So she made a pretty strong promise there. She was saying, "God, if you give me a child, then I will give him back to you. I'll let him serve you." And so we want to read a little further in this story. "And it came to pass, as she continued praying before the Lord, that Eli marked her mouth." And so the priest, instead of thinking, we'll read this, instead of thinking that she was praying, she thought she was just talking because she was drunk. It was sad, but it had a good ending. In verse 13, "Now Hannah, she spoke in her heart, only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Therefore Eli thought she had been drunken." So the priest at first thought she was drunk. And then verse 14, "And Eli said unto her, 'How long wilt thou be drunken? Put away thy wine from thee.' And Hannah answered and said, 'No, my lord, I am a woman of a sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but have poured out my soul before the Lord. Count not thine handmaid for a daughter of Belial, for out of the abundance of my complaint and grief have I spoken hitherto.' And now, this is the amazing thing. Instead of Eli thinking that she was drunk, he starts agreeing with her. He didn't know exactly what she was praying for, but he agreed with her. And we want to read this, verse 17. And then Eli answered and said, "Go in peace, and the God of Israel grant thee thy petition that thou hast asked of him." And so that was his agreement with her prayer. He said, "Go in peace, and the God of Israel grant thee thy petition that thou hast asked of him." So he was saying, God is going to give you your answer. And he was speaking his faith and prayer. And verse 18, and she received the answer. She believed she was going to get it. So verse 18, and she said, "Let thine handmaid find grace in thy sight." So the woman went her way and did eat, and her countenance was no more sad. So she was believing the answer was on the way, because the priest had agreed with her and said, okay, go in peace, and God give you what you have asked for. And it's really interesting as you read further in 1 Samuel chapter 1 that she actually got what she had asked for. It's the next verse, "And they rose up in the morning early and worshiped before the Lord and returned and came to their house in Ramah. And Elkanah knew Hannah, his wife." That's King James English, that they had relations. And then it says, "And the Lord remembered her." And then, verse 20, "Wherefore it came to pass, when the time was about, after Hannah had conceived, that she bare a son and called his name Samuel, saying, because I have asked him of the Lord." So this is a great answer to prayer of a woman. And so she became a mother because she wanted to. And the thing is, I don't know, some of you may have children, and some of you may, I'm in my 50s, I still meet people who don't have any children. But the thing is, this message can apply to anybody, that you can believe God for answers that He has promised. And you can believe His Word, and you can see His Word come to pass in your life. And really, if we're older, we may not have physical children, we can still mentor someone, we can still love someone, we can still be kind to someone, we can still help them in their life. Hannah received this first child, Samuel, and we can read later that Samuel, he was one of the judges of Israel, and he was right there when the things changed in that country from judges to kings, because the people then wanted a king, and so Saul became the first king, and he wasn't doing a good job. He actually sinned, and then David became the next king, and he was a good, strong king. I just want to read a few more verses here from this story, because she goes, actually, when the child is born, and she brings him up there to Eli, the priest, and she says here, 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 26, and she said, "O my Lord, as thy soul liveth, my Lord, I am the woman that stood by thee here praying unto the Lord. For this child I prayed, and the Lord hath given me my petition, which I asked of him. Therefore also I have lent him to the Lord. As long as he liveth, he shall be lent to the Lord." And he worshipped the Lord there. And then I just want to read two verses from the next chapter, because Hannah actually started praying and praising God. And Hannah prayed and said, "My heart rejoiceth in the Lord, and mine horn is exalted in the Lord. My mouth is enlarged over mine enemies, because I rejoice in thy salvation." And then in verse 2 it says, "There is none holy as the Lord, for there is none beside thee, neither is there any rock like our God." So she was praising God. She knew something about God, and she had prayed, she had received an answer, and then now she was thanking God and praising God. And so I want to just share another short story here from the Bible, from Luke chapter 1. And since we're talking about mothers, I have, my mother is still alive. My dad passed on years ago, but my mother's up there in Connecticut, and I'm really blessed. I get to talk to her every week or so on the phone. We don't have a rigorous schedule. I have a sister up there who calls my mother every day because she lives a couple miles from her. But I call my mother, and we have a great talk, and I'm blessed to have a wonderful mother that loves God and has been a good example to me. But I want to talk here about the story about Mary briefly. as another woman who became a mother. And, you know, most times we talk about this story over Christmas time, but still, as we come up here next Sunday, we won't be here, but you'll be celebrating Mother's Day. There's some really great things, actually, Luke chapter 1, there's some great things to learn about Mary. And I want to start here at chapter 1, Luke 1, verse 30. And the angel said unto her, "Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David." And so the angel said some more, but we want to read what Mary said back to the angel. And this is in verse 37 and 38. She said, "For with God nothing shall be impossible." And verse 38, and Mary said, well, actually the angel said, "For with," that was the angel speaking, "For with God nothing shall be impossible." And then verse 38, and Mary said, "Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word." And the angel departed from her. And so that phrase, "Be it unto me according to thy word," is something that, you know, I mentioned already, the song "Standing on the Promises." And when we have a promise from God and we read God's promise, you know, sometimes people talk about faith. And for me, faith is just simply believing God's promise. If He said something clearly, then you can believe it. It's not grabbing something out of the air and saying, "I'm going to believe that and call that faith." But if God has promised something clearly, then we can believe it. And so Mary was promised that she was going to have a child and call his name Jesus. And Mary said, "Be it unto me according to thy word." And that's something that we all can say. I don't know if there's a song about that, "Be it unto me according to thy word," but it would be a good song. "Be it unto me according to thy word." And we can say that. And Mary believed the promise that she had gotten from the angel. And, you know, we can almost ask the question, if she had not believed it, would she have given birth to Jesus? Things may have turned out differently. But Mary said, "Be it unto me according to thy word." And she then conceived, and she gave birth to Jesus. And then when she was pregnant, she went over there and visited her cousin Elizabeth, who was the mother of John the Baptist. And they were talking. And I want to read a few verses about Mary, because she really understood and had a relationship with God. And it says here in Luke chapter 1, verse 46, "And Mary said, My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior." So she knew something, because she recognized she had a spirit, and she said, "My spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior." You know, when we are born again, then our spirit is born again, and it's made right before God. We have right standing with God. And then our soul, which is our mind, our will, and our emotions, she recognized there was a difference there. And she said in verse 46, "And Mary said, My soul doth magnify the Lord." And then she spoke some more. I'm going to skip down to verse 49. "For he that is mighty hath done to me great things, and holy is his name." And verse 50, "And his mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation. He hath showed strength with his arm, and hath scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts." And so she really has a great confession of faith. And I want to just mention this phrase here, "And his mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation." And you know, we want to have God's mercy in our life. And there's a verse even in the Sermon on the Mount that says, "Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy." And here Mary said, "His mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation." And that's actually, you could almost look in Psalm 103. "The mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting toward them that fear him." You could find that verse there. And I'll just digress to say, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil. There's a definition actually in Proverbs chapter 8, verse 13. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. And so as we talk about prayer, that's an important thing, is we want to check ourselves and say, God, I don't want to have any unconfessed sin in our life. You know, the other day I was talking about the Lord's Prayer, and I learned something new about the Lord's Prayer I'd never heard before from someone else. It's worth repeating, because in the Lord's Prayer, we're actually addressing the past, the present, and the future. And I'll tell you how. The past is when we say, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. We're asking God to forgive us of our past sins, and then we're asking, and we're also saying, we do forgive other people. We want to forgive people. And then the present is when we pray, give us this day our daily bread. We're trusting God for His provision in our life. And then the future, we're praying when we say, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And so we're addressing the future when we say, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. And so we can pray and we can believe God. And Mary had a relationship with God, and she was a human being. God loved her, and she was the mother of Jesus. And we want to recognize her position, because she actually realized that. And for she said, for behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. She recognized what God was going to do in her life. But at the same time, God can work in every one of our lives if we will live for Him. And it's, there's a song, it says, it is no secret what God can do. What He's done for one, He can do for you. And so I want to encourage you, as we read these examples of Hannah, and we read these examples of Mary, that they were examples of great mothers, but they're also examples of people who believe God. And we can believe God's promise. We can stand on His promises and see His word come to pass in our life. And so I'm going to close in prayer. We're going to sing a few more songs, and then if anyone has a prayer request, when we end, we'd be glad to come around and pray with you. So I thank you for listening this morning. God bless you, and for those of you who are mothers, happy Mother's Day early, a little early. So God bless you. We're going to close in prayer here. Heavenly Father, we come to You in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, we just thank You that You love everyone here, that You have got good things for them. Lord, we just pray Your blessing upon the mothers. We pray Your blessing on every woman and on every man here, that You love them, that You want them to prosper and be in health, even as their soul prospers. Lord, we pray, Lord, that You would give each of us a desire to seek You in a greater way, to read Your word, to pray Your word, to meditate upon Your word, to make Your word part of our life, to live it and obey it. And Lord, we just thank You, Lord, that You worked in Hannah's life, You worked in your mother Mary's life, and Lord, we just thank You that we too can say, be it unto me according to Your word. Lord, that Your word would come to pass in our life. We just thank You, Lord, that Your word is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Lord, we thank You that Your word is spirit and life, and Lord, we just thank You, Lord, it's working quickly in us. We thank You and praise You for Your many promises and blessings. We thank You for dying on the cross, Jesus Christ, as we celebrated last week, and that You paid for our sins, and that You made a way for us to have salvation and to be healed. We thank You and praise You for this. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right, God bless you. Thank you for listening.